Are you ready to exist boldly? I'm Leanne Scheer, lifestyle coach, founder of Cycle District, and gym owner times two. Welcome to Undone and Uncensored. I'm so glad you're back and listening. Welcome to season two of Undone and Uncensored. I can't think of a better way to start 2023, even though we're near the end of the month already. Can you even believe that? Anyway, I can't think of a better way to start 2023 than to talk about how we can all be living our best lives. And what I'd like to do today is share with you some of the things that I've learned throughout my life, some of the things I'm still learning, the ways that I have overcome some of my darkest days and some of the times where I just can't get my head right, or that fear has kept me in a place where I felt incapable of living my life to the fullest. So I hope some of these things help you. I'm going to go through a list, and on some of them, I might elaborate a little bit, but I do expect this to end up being a series. Today, I'd like to talk about Life Edition. We'll go on into the next podcast on the Health Edition, Exercise Edition, Food, Exercise. I really want to break it down into the things that I have either found a way through or working to find a way through to be living the best possible life I can be living. So without further ado, and these are in no particular order, so I didn't list these things in order of priority to me, although as I go through them, I will definitely be telling you things that really made a huge impact on my life and why. So here we go. The first one is words mean nothing. Watch actions. This is true for every single interaction that you have with anybody, whether that's in your personal relationships, whether that is a work relationship. It just does. If it's a stranger on the street, words don't mean anything. You have to pay attention to actions. And I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. I think where I've gone wrong in my life and what I've gotten really good at honing in on is I immediately try to make excuses for the actions of that other person. Well, maybe they didn't mean it. Well, when they said that, they didn't mean it this way about you. And sometimes that is the case. I would say more times than not, actions scream loudly. So if somebody's telling you that they love you or they're loyal to you or they're honest to you, and in the meantime, you're watching lies or you're watching disloyalty or whatever the case may be, if it's just not feeling right and the actions don't match, maybe they treat you differently around certain people than they do when you're just with them by yourselves. Words mean nothing. Watch actions. Pay attention to everything going on around you. And that is not to say that we have to be super vigilant and hyper actively looking at what everybody's doing around you. It's just to notice. And I'm telling you, once you begin to notice and be okay with it, not take it personally, which will lead us right into my next one. Once you can notice what's happening, and then importantly, it's not always about you. It doesn't have to be about how much the person likes you. It doesn't have to be about the person being disloyal. Sometimes people are just people dealing with their own shit in their own way, and that doesn't serve you well. It doesn't even have to be about you. Sometimes it's about the person's ego, the person's insecurity. Maybe they're in competition with you and they don't realize it. You don't have to personalize the fact that you're noticing actions that don't match words. And that's the key for me. Like, what the first thing, I've always been kind of hyper vigilant, watching everything around me. I think if you've listened to my past podcast, you've listened to me talk about the gift of fear and trusting your intuition and really honing in on it. And I think one of the gifts and also downfalls of having lived a life where there was danger in your home for whatever reason, you had to learn to walk into a room and kind of observe and assess the situation. Is the situation safe? What am I dealing with? Shit, I've had jobs like that where I walked in thinking, how crazy is today going to be? Do I have the nice boss? Do I have the crazy boss? So, and that kind of vigilance can be really wearing on you. So I'm not asking you to be overly analyzing everything going around you, but just noticing and then keeping in mind that you do not have to choose to personalize the behavior that you notice. Now, I'm not saying that it's not personal. It very well could be. You could be dealing with a person who is simply incapable of giving you what you need in a work relationship, in a friendship, in a marriage, whatever the case might be. That may be the case, but you don't have to personalize it because you don't know what their issues are. You don't know why they have the issues that they do. And frankly, you don't need to know. Once you notice it, you can simply back away from it. And that can be done silently. I think for me, what I've realized the most in life is I don't need to tell people everything that I think or everything that I know. It doesn't need to be words that are spoken. Now, of course, if it's a relationship that you're trying to repair, if it's a relationship that you think counseling or a deep seated conversation could change it, then I'm all about sitting down with somebody and talking about your side, your perception, how you're feeling, what you need from the person. But if it is one of those situations where it's a work situation that could change, or it's an acquaintance or someone that you really don't have to spend a lot of time around, you have the information that you need, you can simply just back away from it quietly. And then on to my next point, if you're going to make up a story about how someone thinks or feels about you, make it a good story. So if you choose not to have a conversation and communication with this person, and you have to quietly back away from it, and you don't know the circumstances, you don't know if it had something to do with you, if it's something they had going on in their own life, but you are left to a story that you don't have an answer to, you get to make that story a good story. Don't forget that. You don't have to be, they probably didn't like me because I was too gregarious, or maybe they didn't like me because I was too quiet or whatever. You get to make up a story. You're going to make up a story about how people feel about you and you don't know, and you're not in a position to find out. Make it a good story. You know, I don't know that they were really thinking about me at all. I think they were busy. I think they have a lot going on in their own lives, and this is not about me, and I can move on from it. So if you're going to make up a story, make it a good one. You don't have to suffer thinking that people are thinking badly about you or talking badly about you. And quite honestly, if they are, good for you for paying attention, noticing, and getting away from those people. Okay, next one. Strength is not cold and invasive, but loving and forgiving. And I know there's been times in my life where I felt like I really needed to protect myself from people. And that came across as being harsh and cold. And I wanted, or maybe even mean mugging people, like looking at them like, you better not fuck with me. Nobody can fuck with me. I'm a badass. Don't fuck with me. And that just didn't serve me well. One, it doesn't match my personality. Two, it doesn't really protect you, because then all of those really nice people that want to get to know you don't get to know you because you look like somebody that you're not. So strength, I think in many times when we've been hurt, we use different masks to protect ourselves. And for me, at one point in my life, I wanted to be like tough, like you couldn't hurt me in anything you said. If you broke up with me or if a boyfriend broke up with me, I was like, I don't give a fuck, whatever. And I just never talked to them again. And I'd run into them in public places and literally blow them off like I'd never seen them before a day in my life. And that was a form of protection. That was not strength. That was weakness. That was fear. That was hiding. And that was trying to be somebody I wasn't. So now I try more to, I like to think of it as being soft and being okay with loving and losing and having fear and just letting yourself be soft. I don't know how to describe it any other way than that, but for me, it's just being vulnerable. And vulnerability is hard and not something, in my opinion, I don't know that everybody would agree with me, but I don't think you should be vulnerable with just anybody. I think you should choose that carefully. But when you need to be strong, that comes out of vulnerability, loving, forgiving, being soft. Okay. If they aren't cheering you on, walk away. If you have friends, I'll just use my circumstances because it's easier for me. If I have people asking me questions about my life, dear friends, people that have been in my life for a long time, and it's not a judgment, but if I say something to them and they ask me something about my life that was in my very first podcast, and I know that, and I get that people have lives and they have stuff going on. If you know me and you're friends with me and you care about me, and you couldn't take 15 minutes to listen to a podcast to know the question you're going to ask me, you are not cheering me on. You are not interested in giving me feedback. You're not interested in what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. And that is a fact. It is not, I don't have to take that personally. I can notice that I am not being supported in my career, my new career. That's okay. I don't have to be. I want to surround myself with people who love me, respect me, and what, of course, I don't expect people who know me to sit and listen to every podcast or even be a podcast person. But I will tell you, I've not had one friend, not even one acquaintance, who hasn't told me about a podcast that they've started or something that they were doing that I haven't inquired about, that I haven't listened to. And I'm talking about acquaintances, not just good friends. And this isn't a, I want to say, I use that as an example, not out of resentment, because I don't believe resentment has any place in my life. I think resentment is one of the most harmful things that you can do to yourself. And keep in mind, if you're resenting, you're not doing anything to anyone. You are literally harming yourself. And I'm not about self-harm. So if you, well, obviously, if you're a friend and you're listening to this podcast, you're not one of those people. But that's not to attack or to say that people should be a certain way. It's just for me, that doesn't match my behavior. It doesn't match what I would do. And it doesn't match what kind of people I want in my life. Listen, I have a friend who listens to my podcast, and she will also give me feedback or be like, yeah, I mean, I really want to talk about this, and I noticed this, and what do you think about that? And can I come on your podcast? And you missed this whole point spiritually. And I love that. I love that about her. I know that she's engaged. I know she's listening. I know she cares about me. That is everything to me. Those are the kind of people that I want in my life and surrounded. That doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to the person who doesn't listen to my podcast or have resentment or think anything. It just means that I note that is not one of my really close people. That is not one of my people. I love this one, and this is the one that I struggle the very most with. Your thoughts will control your outcome. This is so true. Your thoughts, what you're saying to yourself, not what you're reading, not the mantras that you're reading, where you're going, I am happy and healthy and whole. And if you're not happy and healthy and whole, at the end of the day, you're trying to talk yourself into that, which, I mean, fake it until you make it. There's some truth to that. But there's also at some point, there might need to be an action that you do or work that you do or reading that you do or journaling that you do or counseling that you do to actually really overcome those deep ingrained subconscious thoughts that are keeping you from having the outcome in the life that you want. Okay, here we go on to the next one. Validation is an inside job. There is nobody on this earth that can validate you. There isn't. I used to do this to myself all the time. I had body dysmorphia and I never knew. And being a gym owner, you just kind of open yourself up to people commenting about your body or constantly talking about their bodies, how much weight they gained, how much weight they have lost. I still find myself way too preoccupied with my weight and where it's at and why it's at, why it's there and how it's going to be there and how I'm going to get it off and blah, 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 blah. It's an old topic for me. But when I depended on other people, I would start to lose weight and maybe a group of people. I think I've talked about this on a podcast before, actually. my sister really, if she were to pick her perfect body type, that is a strong woman, not a rail thin woman. I understand, by the way, when I'm saying this, that it's not healthy. I, when I was growing up, looked up to rail thin models. So if I'm depending on you to know if my body feels healthy, happy, or if it looks good, if I were to ask my sister if my body looked good, she might say, no, I think you look too thin. Somebody who grew up like I idolizing the things that I idolized, which wasn't health. It was more about ego and attention and being a model and being beautiful and having people look at you, I think. But if I were to ask somebody like that, they would be like, oh my God, you look amazing. You really look good. And I just, keep losing weight. You cannot get validation from other people. You can, but it's going to keep you confused and it's going to keep you outside of what you really want for yourself. It is an inside job. So my inside job right now, because I have already said this is something I struggle with, and recently I've had a small weight gain, and I'm not exactly sure what it's associated, if it's associated to stress, age, if I've been eating a little bit more than I realize. For me, my strongest moments and my healthiest moments is when I am getting up and getting dressed and going out into the world. There was a time when if I had gained 5 pounds, I wouldn't go teach my classes. I wouldn't leave. I would starve myself. I would have all of this really dysfunctional, unhealthy, and abusive behavior towards myself before I could go out again to be validated. And then what a slap in the face when you go out and you want to be validated by people for being a certain, the way that you look, and you're not going to get it anymore. You know why? Just side note, I almost cut that whole part out. I started saying it and I stopped it and went back. I was like, no, I have to cut that part out because I'm just saying that I'm not going to get validated anymore for how I look or how much I weigh. I think this is important, and I think I've said it before on a podcast, but I'm going to leave that in, and this isn't true for all of you. I love that I have people listening from teenagers all the way up to much older than me, but what I will say about being 50 in my 50s is that you are now walking through life in a different way where you're not necessarily being looked at for your body and your looks. And it is such a gift after you get over the shock of that it's reality, that you're not getting out of your car and strutting through for the attention. And I say this, but I'm going to imagine that I'm not the only one that did things like that. I'm going to imagine that when I loved male attention or women telling me how pretty I was or all of those things, that's not just me. And maybe it is. If it is, you guys can just get on and be like, Leanne, I've never felt that way a day in my life. You need to go get some counseling. But there was such a beautiful gift. And if you're not there yet, just that the point is still goes back to validation and getting validation from other people. But there will be a point in time in your life when people are looking at you differently. And that is a gift. But validation can be not only about how you look, but who you are and what you do and how much money you have. So on a whole, I kind of went off on a little tangent there, and everything in me wants to stop this podcast and go back. But I think I called myself out for something that's really important. And I think that on to the next one is that learn to love your age and aging and growing. And I listen, from 16 to 25 to 30 to 35 to 40 to 45, there's always different things that we're going through. Now, if you're 50, looking back to what it felt like to have your first wrinkle when you were 28 or 30 or whatever the age was that you were, it feels silly. But that doesn't negate the fact that our bodies are changing the entire time that we're aging. And if we can look at that with comedy, and there are times, and laugh, and have not only not laughing at yourself, but laughing at Gosh, there's so many things I want to tell you about what happens to your body when you get in your 50s, but all of you kids would be appalled and never listen again. I'm just kidding. But there's some really, like, so there's some weird shit where you're like, what the hell? Why is that there? And it shouldn't be there. And now you guys are going like, what? What is she talking about? Oh, dear God. I'm going to stop that right now and just move on because I feel like I've got you all like in this, like, oh no, God, what's happening? Learn to laugh, learn gratitude. I'm so grateful to be alive today and to have made it into my 50s. And I hope to make it into my 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. And every single moment that I can be on this earth living and loving and helping other people is exactly what I want to be doing. So keeping my mind right, and just skip that whole little tangent. I'm making myself keep it in, and I'm not sure why sometimes when this happens, one of you needed to hear that. And so I'm just going to pretend that happened. And if you didn't need to hear it and you want to talk to me about what some of those body changes are, I'm happy to have a conversation with you and we can laugh and talk about it later. Okay, I really had to stop myself from erasing all of that, but on to the next one. If they gossip to you, they are going to gossip about you. And this is a fact. If somebody is talking shit to you about someone else, they are definitely talking shit about you. Now, I do think that it's really important to have one person, at least one person in your life. For me, I have my mom, my sister. I have one friend who I really feel safe with going to have a conversation about something that I'm going through and what I perceive somebody has done to me and how I'm processing that. I try not to do it with more than one or two people just to get some feedback. What the difference is, if you're walking around leading with that story, trying to get validation for how you felt, instead of really one of my closest friends that I go to talk to, I expect her to put me in my place if I am wrong, if I have done something, and she'd be the first person to check the story, like, well, what about this? Did you do that? And she's just a really good friend. And those are the people I want in my life, not people blowing smoke, going, oh yeah, you're so, what a bitch, blah, blah, blah. No, I want people, check me. Are you sure that has anything to do with you? This was another friend that I called her at one point in time, there was something going on. And I called and said, how could this person do this to me? And she said, they're not even thinking about you. And I couldn't really grasp that concept in that year at that time. I really get that this year. Half the time, more than half the time, probably most of the time that things are happening and they feel like they're happening to you, at you, they have nothing. They're not thinking about you. It has nothing to do with you. They're thinking about themselves, which, by the way, is a human behavior. So keep those people close to you that are going to hold you accountable, and those people that just want to gossip. And here is how you know, because I used to get confused between gossiping and debriefing. Here's the difference. Debriefing is you are the story. It happened to you. Gossiping is you heard a story that has nothing to do with you. You might be one person removed. It might be a really interesting story, but you have no business telling it, or even you don't even know if it's true or not. That is gossiping. That is clear. If you are behaving that way, if you have caught yourself doing that over and over and over, and trust me when I say, I used to bond with people through gossiping, so I understand. It just became like if you had a coworker and your boss was an asshole and you could sit and talk, and it was a way that you developed relationships and friendships with people. And one of the biggest learnings that I've had in my life is, and it's hard, man, if I got a story to tell, and it's a story I really like, it's salacious. Like, can you even believe that somebody's doing this? But it serves no purpose. It really is always better for you, your body. And at the end of the day, this life edition list is how you are going to feel better in your body every day. And that's what's so important. Gossiping is draining. It is draining. It serves zero purpose. Okay, we're almost through the list. And I can't remember if this was Tony Robbins or Dr. Phil. I don't know. Those both go way back in the day of when I was really paying attention and trying to heal and get better and listening. I think it might have been Dr. Phil. They will tell you who they are within minutes of meeting them. And if not within minutes, it won't take very many conversations until you know exactly who they are. Pay attention to what people are saying. Pay attention. If you start dating a guy and he's telling you about what he did to a girl and how he left her, guess what? He is literally telling you what he's going to do to you. People do not change. The other thing that I shouldn't say that. Of course people change. But somebody who would sit and tell you, let's use this in a business sense because it makes more sense to me. If somebody were to tell you, I made a shit ton of money. And how I made a shit ton of money was this is a true story. I'm not going to tell you because somebody might hear it and really do it, which I would like to think wouldn't happen. But I met a man who found, and I didn't date him. I met him actually in treatment, and he was a miserable man. God help him. I hope that he is living a better life now. But he literally made money off of the backs of small business owners who hadn't done all of their paperwork properly. So he'd hire an attorney. He would do the thing that they hadn't done and then sue them basically, and they'd have to pay them to continue doing their business. If you think somebody tells you a story like that and they wouldn't harm you, walk over the top of you, take from you in order to have money, you are dead wrong. People tell you who they are. If you have a partner in business who's cheating on their wife, I hate to tell you this, but they have told you what their makeup is, what their moral set is, what their values are. And if they are missing those values, they're going to miss them with you in a business. They tell you who they are. Pay attention. Listen to it. And it doesn't have to be a judgment. I'm not talking about walking around and judging people for the actions that they choose to have. We all have to live our own lives, and we all are going to pay the consequences for the decisions that we make in life. I don't believe there's an easy way out. I think if you harm people, I believe in karma. I believe in spirituality. I believe in, it's just, if you're a negative person or a mean person or a selfish person, that's going to come back to you. I mean, there's a whole bunch of theories about all of this other stuff, but the whole point here, if somebody's telling you about something, it's not like, oh, cool, or oh, that's interesting, or oh, like when I was younger, I'm going to change them because they're going to love me so much. They would never do that to me. Uh-uh. No, that's your news. Get out and get out quick. They are telling you who they are. Pay attention. That's all you got to do. You don't have to even get so connected with somebody that it's painful to disconnect. They tell you, you leave. That simple. If somebody's talking to you about something that happened 20 years ago and they have a long time of recovery and they're talking about it in a way that they have regret, I think that's a very different situation. But pay attention to what people are telling you that they do to others, because they will do the same thing to you. And then this is going right into something that I think is really important. Hanging on to resentment gives that person power over your life. It is why I have insisted on finding gratitude and forgiveness for every single thing that has harmed me in my life. Because I know that until I release that resentment, those people are still controlling me. They are controlling my actions. They are controlling my emotions. If I'm hanging on to resentment, I am not able to be 100% myself. I'm just not. Anger and resentment will eat you alive. It is a disease. And I'll be goddamned if I'll let somebody that already took part of my childhood away from me continue to rack my body with disease. No way, no way, no how. I'll do whatever work that I need to do to get to the gratitude place of where that abuse put me, or how I can turn that around to help other people, or what I can do in my moments of forgiveness. Now, does that mean that I would put myself around that person again, or go to them and say, I forgive you? Absolutely not. We're talking about ourselves. Like, how do you care for yourself? And the older I get, the quieter I get. I know how I can care for myself. I don't need to tell everybody about that. And last but not least, because we are all human beings and fallible and get irritated and angry. And there's a caveat to what I'm saying that I want to be sure and wrap up, because I've had my kids come back at me about this one. So I want to make sure that I end this. You have to be very careful with this one. If you live your life like today is your last, you wake up in the morning and try it. I've said this before, and the immediate reaction is no. No, I don't want that. That creates fear. I don't want to think of myself as not being here. Well, guess what? The reality is, whether you want to believe it or not, that none of us know how long we're going to be on this planet. None of us know when our last moment is. And if you wake up outside of fear, just noticing, today is a gift. I'm taking a breath. Every single interaction I have with people today is important. Now, does that mean that my husband doesn't do something super annoying and I'm like, oh my fucking God, are you serious? Yes, I still do that. But the second thought is, when he's getting ready to walk out the door to go to work, is, hang on, wait a second. I'm really frustrated. I feel like I've talked to you about this a lot, but at the end of the day, I love you more than anything. Because if that was the last moment that I had on this earth, that's what I'd want him to remember. Not me bitching about some stupid ass thing that didn't matter anyway. So if you can separate the fear of death and the fear of the fact that we don't know, we don't get to know. And I understand that it's not, that will be another podcast where I'll talk to you about a near-death experience that I had, and also my perception now of death for myself is very different. I used to be very afraid of dying. I am not afraid to die. I am, of course, not looking forward to losing anyone in my life that I love. I've experienced it. It's painful. I will tell you that if you have spirituality and connection, I still feel connected to those people. It's just a very different connection, and it's not an easy one, and grieving's not easy. So if I were to say that my fear, I mean, I don't think any of us would say, oh, somebody could die and it would be okay. Of course not. I mean, okay, it has to be okay. It's going to happen to all of us. I don't want to end this podcast in fear. I want to end it in the knowledge that if we are living in reality, not some fantasy, not pretending like we have 100 tomorrows, then I got up today and did my podcast because, you know what? This was an important message to me. I feel like I've worked really hard over the last 50, almost 55 years now to learn all these lessons. And if I can share them, and if one of you hears something that stops them at 30 or 35 or 40 or 18 from going down the hard road that I took, thank God. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm here. And that's what's important to me. So I don't want to end this on a note that's making people feel down. I think that if we acknowledge that death is a reality for us, and we choose to live every single day, not in fear, but how does my interaction matter today? How am I going to walk away from that person? If I'm annoyed in the store and I'm standing in line and somebody's fumbling around and I'm in a hurry and I feel myself make that, can I even at that point change? And if the person looks up at me, say, oh, I'm sorry, turn it around and say, oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You're totally fine. Can I help you with anything? We get to change every single, we're human beings with human behavior. But keeping that in the forefront of our minds can be better human beings and live with less regret. Now, here's the important thing that I want to tell you, because I raise my children saying that to them. And what they've all expressed to me as adults is that they felt like it was incredibly manipulative because I would say it to them at the wrong time. They'd be fighting with their little sister, their big sister, and I would say, "This is so stupid. Don't fight about that. You can't fight about that. What if she died tomorrow?" Well, one, that kept them from their experience and being upset and angry and working through it. Two, it felt manipulative to them, and I was trying to get them to knock it off, and it is something for me. I don't want any of my children to ever experience saying or doing, I don't want to experience it, and I don't want them to ever experience going through that when there's been turmoil in the relationship. However, when they're upset with their sister, isn't the time to say that. That was the time for me to listen. That was the time for me to hear what they were saying, give them advice if they want to ask them, if they want advice. That's the one thing I would change if I could, and I'm working on doing now with them as adults, is do you want to know what I would do? Because sometimes people really don't want advice. They just want you to listen. And so had I to do it again, I think it's an important message that I would give them, but I would give them to it in my own life and not in situations where I was manipulating them unknowingly. Even when they were talking to me about how they felt, I was like, of course I wasn't manipulating me like, duh, you want that to happen? Which again was not listening to their perspective and their point of view. So I would say that this is something not necessarily that you need to share with other people and everyone around you. It's not necessarily something I would say to my husband if he was irritated at me and being rude. Like, what if I die tomorrow? Are you going to feel good about how you're treating me right now? That's manipulation. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about for us living our lives every single day like it could be our last, and every single one around us like it could be their last. Not that it would make it any easier, because it wouldn't. Death isn't easy, and grieving isn't easy, and losing somebody that you love isn't easy. But it definitely, I believe, would make it easier if those interactions were healthy and as clean as they could be. So live your best life. Live your life to the fullest, and every single day, you're going to make mistakes. Start making your own list of how you can live your best life. How can you live your life to the fullest? Make your list, share it with me, share it with other people. We all can learn from each other. And just remember gentleness and grace. When we're looking at ourselves, we're looking at our behavior, we're looking at other people's behavior, even looking at other people's behavior to live a better life for ourselves can be one where we need to show up with gentleness for ourselves and grace for them. That doesn't mean we need to allow it, but we can have grace while we're moving away from it. Meet you back here next week. We're going to talk about living your best life, health edition. And I think we'll probably talk about food first, because there's a lot of bullshit out there. Have a great day. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening today. Book a coaching session or purchase merch at www.undoneanduncensored.com, or give me a follow on the gram, Undone and Uncensored. Have a great week.